Okay.
All right. Well, we will go ahead and begin our study, which is, I think all of y'all got the email, but we're going to be looking at the book of Revelation this first part of the year. And over the last few years, I've got a few requests to look at that. So I kept like, let's do something else. But I kept getting requests for it, not from everybody, but a few people. So I was like, well, let's take a look at it. So we're going to look at Revelation this fall. And what we're going to do is the first few weeks, we're going to lay the foundation for it. Because I think to understand Revelation, probably more than any other book, you have to labor a little bit in the background of it, the meaning of it, the history of it. What do some of these things that we see in the book mean? Some of these colors and numbers and all that kind of stuff. Because once you kind of understand all that, then when you start reading it, you're like, okay, this makes more sense. So we're going to, I'm kind of combining two studies. One of them is a video-based study from Lutheran Hour. It's called Explaining All the Scary Stuff in Revelation. Great title, right? And this is, they have this series of Bible studies. They call it the Men's Network, but you can use it for men and women too. So I might reference that a couple times. But it's got a Dr. Ken Klaus, the former speaker of the Lutheran Hour. This was put together a few years ago when he was the speaker. So I think he has a real engaging style that will hold your attention. So this isn't that long, though. This is, as he's going to tell us in a minute, it's just kind of to introduce it to you. And so we'll spend a few weeks laying the foundation. Then we'll read through the chapters of the book. So then I have another study from Concordia that we're going to work through the lessons. There's 13 lessons in that, but basically the first one we'll cover in these first few weeks. So we'll kind of start with lesson two on that once we get past the introduction. So again, it's going to be several weeks kind of laboring in the background, but I think it'll be interesting, the background. But even just preparing it, I realized even more. It's like I put on an audio of someone reading the whole book of Revelation this morning when I was working. And just listening to that, I'm like, from preparing the study, I'm like, this makes more sense now because I just understood the background of it, okay? So I won't say anything else about it because we're going to talk more of the introductory stuff. But a great way to start it is this video is only about 7 minutes of video we're going to watch tonight. Then we'll start talking about it. But this just kind of throws it out there about Revelation, what people think about it, some of the misconceptions and stuff like that. So this is be a good little introduction to the whole thing. Like I said, it's only about 7 or 8 minutes, and then I'll give out your books. But for now, I just want you to kind of take in the introduction of it. So go past your title page to the page one here, and I think this is one of the most important things about Revelation to remember. And I forgot to move this, didn't I? That verse there. Why doesn't someone read the verse from Revelation 1:8 for us there while I'm moving this?
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty.
Right. So, I mean, this summarizes one of the main ideas. You know, God, there's no beginning or end. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end of the Greek alphabet. And he is the one which was, which is, and is to come. So that's one of the key things to remember about. I've given you the two main sources for the class. The basic structure of this booklet, again, we put it all in one. So there's basically three sets of page numbers. It's like the old Lutheran worship hymnal, right? Everybody loved that, right? There were three sets of page numbers. Visitors could never find anything, you know, and it was so unuser-friendly. So hopefully we can figure it out, though. I didn't really have another way to do it unless I whited out the number on every single page in the study. And I was like, that's probably not an efficient use of my limited time. So the introductory material we're starting today on page one. Then there's the main, you know, meat of it there is the lessons from the Revelation study. That's going to be probably definitely most of this. And then I've included an appendix as well with maps and the glossary and stuff that we may that we will refer to. We may refer to some of it multiple times. So I've put an appendix there at the end with those materials as well. So that's basically how it's set up. Now let's go to page 2. We've already had the welcome in the video. But I just wanted to start out kind of talking about, you know, without giving too much information other than what we saw in the introduction there, a little bit about Revelation as far as your initial thoughts about, you know, what do, you know, he shared some stuff in the video, but what are some things that you think of when you think about Revelation or some ideas of what you think that it's like? No one? Go ahead, Ken. All right.
There's descriptions of heaven.
Okay, descriptions of heaven.
Yeah.
All right, good. So you start with the positive thing, right? What's the old saying? You know, I've read the end of the book and we win, right? You know, we read Revelation 20, 21, and 22. It's good stuff, isn't it? Go ahead.
The assurance that those who read it will be blessed.
Okay, yeah. And I think that may be the beginning and the end, too. So good. Okay, what else? Anything else you think of with Revelation? Can't see another one.
There's a lot of horn things that are...
Horns, yeah, lots of horns, right? There are lots of horns, yeah. You've
lots
got
of
the
numbers.
Yeah, lots of numbers. We're going to talk about that. What were you going to say, Jessica? It's numbers? That's a, okay, so... No, so there's... Yeah, there's.
It seems like there's a lot of, I don't know, images...
Yes.
...that you don't understand, that you wonder
okay.
what their meaning is.
Okay, well, that's good. You're touching on some of... So there may be some confusion. What does this mean? This sounds kind of weird. You know, some of these. Yeah, so there's, and it's, as we'll see, it's describing a vision that John really not just saw, but experienced. Go ahead, David.
Well, it's a guide to prepare yourself. But you know that you're going to ask them to give you a description so you're not totally in the dark about stuff.
Right.
We're not to understand everything of what he does mm-hmm. and why he does.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, and we'll see that actually kind of ties into some of the original purpose of the book we'll get to in these first few weeks. As he kind of mentioned, there are a lot of people kind of scared of Revelation. You know, like it's got a lot of, you know, if you read through it's got like kind of scary and bloody and violent things going on in it. I mean, some people are just kind of like you know, scared of some of the things in it. You know, not just Christian people, but just, you know, people out in the world. You know, this is the, like he showed the big, you know, the atomic bomb, you know, exploding. You know, that's kind of what people think of. This is the end of everything. And so, yeah, now, I'm sure you have a lot of questions as we go through, but anything like just that pops out, like that you want to throw out there now? Maybe we won't answer it now, but then I can put it in there. Do you have one? Okay, Old Testament references. Yes. Yeah, there are Old Testament references. So we'll look at that in the study. That's a good question. Anything else? Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll cover some of these as we go through. What about number 2? Has there historically been a high level of interest in the book of Revelation? I see nodding heads, yes. And he showed you some of that introduction, even going back to the, you know, medieval and Renaissance times, a lot of the artwork and things like that. On that, Albert Dürer, the praying hands guy, I didn't know that until I watched this. That's how he actually kind of became prominent, made most of his money, was doing artwork relating to Revelation. And so even back in those times, there were people who got fairly wealthy off of selling stuff about Revelation. And it hasn't changed, we'll see. There's a lot of money to be made with things in Revelation, related to Revelation, from different ministries and things like that. So different movies. So yeah, it's been around. Now, Michelangelo did Sistine Chapel. You know, he paints the scene of the Last Judgment there and in there. So it's kind of interesting some of the stuff he went through there. So yes, there has been a very high level, and I think just if you ask just kind of man on the street or woman on the street, hey, what Bible book do you think is the most interesting? Probably a lot of them say Revelation, you know, because they're like curious about it and they've heard about it or they've seen something about it.
I think it's also the hardest one.
Yeah, in a lot of ways it is. You know, I'll, this probably relates to something we'll get to later, and try not to get down too many rabbit trails in the introduction, because we're going to go through all this stuff, you know, in the lessons. But, you know, it's that's kind of another one of the old sayings. That's like the worst thing you can do if you're a new Christian is read the book of Revelation. Like, you know, if you want to start with the Bible, but it's all God's word, it's all good, right? But if you had to pick one book to start reading your Bible with, it's probably not Revelation, right? You know, you want to maybe start with one of the Gospels. You know, might be a good start. Like in the Gideons, you guys, when you give out Bibles, do you tell people, and make sure you read Revelation first, right? You don't tell people that, right? Now, they might want to read that, you know, because they're curious about it. That's probably not where you direct them, right? Yeah, just read Revelation. Explain everything. You'll understand it all perfectly, you know. It's like, what? You know, so, yeah, so it's exactly so. So there is, this kind of feeds into number three, there is a lot of interest in the book of Revelation. Now, what would some of the reasons for that be? He gave some in the video. What are some other things? Now, why is there such an interest in the book of Revelation, in the church and outside of the church?
Well, it's a different book.
Yeah, I wrote, that was one of the words I added. It's different. It's very different.
It's not just historical, or it's not it's a different book. It's in a class
right.
by itself.
Definitely in the New Testament, and even there's really not a whole book like it in the Old Testament either. I mean, there's portions of the Old Testament kind of, you have these visions, and they read like, but like a whole book, not really. I mean, Daniel has a good bit, but still not. I mean, it's definitely has a different feel to it when you read Revelation compared to other parts of the Bible. And that's why it's kind of, you know, they classify the Bible books by groups. Like in confirmation, we learn them. I tell the kids, you know, learn it by group so it's easier to learn. You got the minor prophets and you got the Pentateuch here. You got the Gospels. There's only really one that's classified as apocalyptic literature, the whole book, and that's Revelation. So, yeah, it's different. What else? Why would people be interested in it?
Maybe it goes back to what David just said.
Yeah.
Foretelling.
That's the thing. Do people always want to know the future? Yes, that's why Psychic Friends Network exists, right? People call and pay $10 a minute to talk to these people. And, you know, there's always, people read horoscopes. They want to know the future. What's going to happen in the future, right? Now, we'll see, Revelation's not only about the future, but that's what a lot of people think. So, it is about the future, but not exclusively, okay? So, yeah, there's always this, what's going to happen at the end of the world? I turn on the news and I see these things happen, you know, shootings and wars. Could this be the end? What's going to happen, right? And so people are naturally curious about that. It's just kind of interesting to some people. They find it interesting because it is different. What about, is it kind of mysterious in a way? Yeah, some people like mystery, right? They like mystery. Well, this is mysterious, you know. Or do some people like solving puzzles? I've never really been a big puzzle person, honestly. Now, Mom is. She loves crossword puzzles. I look at one, I'm like, I'm not doing this. You know, I'm just, give me the answer. The answer's in the back of the book, you know. So I'm just more like a more literal, straight-ahead person. But some people like puzzles. You know, Reagan likes to put together puzzles. I'm like, I'll help her if she wants me to, but I really don't want to, you know. So some people like puzzles, though. So they see Revelation as a puzzle, and they say, well, they want to try to figure out what every little verse means and matches up to. So it's like a scavenger hunt almost to them. Go ahead, Jessica.
Because it describes some of heaven, it's like a glimpse.
Yeah. It gives us really the most,
like a reassurance. Yeah.
Yeah. So it could be for a hopeful thing. If you're discouraged, read these last two chapters. It's pretty encouraging. Very good. Good answer. One other one, and he kind of got this in the video. He was exaggerating there, was it Friday the 13th, part 247 or whatever? I don't think they quite got that high. They might be 100, I don't know. But, you know, and all this, Jaws, why do they, are all these movies around, and why are there so many of them in these series? Because people like to be scared. You know, people.
Not me.
Not you, right? And I've never been a big fan of horror movies either. You know, growing up, some of my friends loved them. Like, this is kind of scary. I don't want to watch. I got scared of the Monster Mansion at Six Flags, you know, guys, okay? The Haunted Mansion at Disney World, that's about as much as I want to be scared, you know? That's kind of the limit of my scariness. But So, but some people love this kind of stuff. So they can read, oh, this is great. You know, blood flowing as high as the horse's nostrils. And, you know, this is like a horror movie. You know, so some people like to be scared. Okay, some people like it so they see. And some of the movies that they've made and stuff are kind of, some of them are kind of scary and things like that. So, yeah, so some people just, it's scary and they like that kind of thing. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It just kind of depends on whether you like to be scared or not. Okay. That's everything I had. Maybe you can think of some other things, but I think there's a lot of reasons why people are interested in Revelation. Okay, and I think as he described there, that's a fairly common experience for pastors. I think they get when they say, hey, Bible class, what do you want to study? Revelation. Right? You know, they hear this, you know, because people are curious. They want to know about it. Okay, and a lot of this is going to take us to number four. How is the book of Revelation often portrayed in popular culture or in the context of American evangelicalism? I'm talking about not the evangelicals in Lutheran sense, but in American evangelicalism or in our culture. How is the book of Revelation portrayed? Maybe some of those things we just talked about, but anything specific that comes to mind? Gloom and doom, maybe, in some ways, I think, yeah. Some of the, even like the non-Christian apocalyptic movies, some of them are kind of dark and more discouraging. And things like that, yeah. So it's maybe something more to be feared as opposed to Jessica was saying for the Christian, it's actually comforting, especially when you read the end. You know, that's the bottom line. When you get to the end, it's like, wow, this is great, you know? But yeah, so what about in some churches, we'll talk about this in more detail, like their view of the end times, is it something that they talk about a lot? Yes. And in fact, there are entire ministries that focus on these end times kind of things and how do we interpret things from Revelation, and they match up Daniel with Revelation a lot of times and get a lot of their numbers out of that. Especially in, I think, some of the more like fundamentalist churches and in the Baptist church and in the Pentecostal church, definitely, they're always talking about this is like, you see this, and this is the book, like it's in the book of Revelation. You know, when I was at Emmanuel years ago, you know, as a Pentecostal Holiness College, and they're always, you know, preachers when they come, they're always talking about the end times, and this means this, and I mean, they sold paraphernalia in the bookstore, you know, kids had a bumper sticker on his car, in case of rapture, free car, you know, this was the kind of place, you know, like, it was very, very prominent in their preaching, you know, we'll talk about that, you know, I mean, this is like stuff you would see on campus, you know, or, you know, so... Yeah, so I think it's very much focused on in some portions. And also, the American Evangelical Church is not stupid, because what they figured is, hey, if we want to get people to read the Bible that don't normally read the Bible, how can we get them to do that? Do stuff about Revelation, because that's interesting to people. They may not care about the parables of Jesus, right, unless they're like kind of philosophically, but if we can do stuff blowing up, the end of the world, you know, it's going to grab people's attention, right? All right, that leads us into a couple things. Now, in the introductory essay, we're not going to read that whole thing tonight, but it's in your study guide, basically at the beginning of the part about of when we get into the study from Concordia. It should be, yes, it's pages 7 and 8 of that. And it talks about these two things. But I'm going to mention two things in particular that relate to Revelation and the end times that have had a huge impact in our culture. I bet most of you have heard of both of them. Okay? The first one that you see there is going to be the late great planet Earth. Who's heard of this? Raise your hand. The late great planet Earth. Wow, y'all are disproving my theory. Now, it was from the 70s, so it's been a while. But some of us were around in the 70s. I was around as a baby, I guess. But so the never seen this. Okay. All right. We're in, I guess, see, y'all are good Lutherans. You've been insulated from all this, you know, false teaching and things like this, so that's good. But this, you look at this book here. It was published in 1970 by a guy named Hal Lindsey. He's still around. Most of it was actually ghostwritten by a woman named Carol Carson, right, ladies? They never get the credit, right? But into his credit, later editions do have her name on it too. It says Hal Lindsey with, you know, Carol. And, you know, a lot of people don't write their own books, right? I mean, do you think Bill Clinton wrote his 1,500-page biography at his computer? No. He told the stories to someone who's good at writing. They wrote it down. That's what 90% of them do, okay? They have ghostwriters. But the book sold 35 million copies today. That's a lot of books. Okay, and there were less people in 1970. Now, since that's the most recent number I could find, which I think was early 2000, so he might have hit 40 million by now, I don't know. Other books were written as a follow-up. A TV special came on network TV, so none of y'all saw this in the 70s. Y'all were off going to discos or something, right? You missed this somehow, okay? All right, so watching Jaws, right, or something, you know. But
I did see that.
I know Mom saw it, because I've heard that story about she didn't like it. She's like me. She doesn't like scary movies.
She lives in South Florida and went to the beach every day.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Dad, right? Yeah, so now you're terrified to go in the water. You live at the beach. Yeah, so. But 17 million people watched that TV special. And there were a little fewer people in 1975 as there were now, right? And they made it into a movie that was released in 1979. So Late Great Planet Earth was a huge thing. Now, the next one is going a little more recent, is the Left Behind series. Now, who's heard of that? Raise your hand. Okay, more of us. Probably, it looks like a little over half, okay? Now, Left Behind is from a guy named Dr. Tim LaHaye, who actually passed away a couple years ago. And he was a scholar in Revelation. I mean, he had his whole ministry was built around, he's one of these guys, his whole ministry was end times. And he would examine like every little thing in Revelation and try to tie it to this is what's going on in the world. And then Jerry B. Jenkins is a fiction writer. So basically they teamed up. He had the research and Jenkins knew how to write in a non-academic way that people would actually read. Well, it turns out that it was quite the matchup because the first book was released in 1995. They continued to release titles until 2007. This is the first book right here of the series. This is it right here. They're pretty fast reads. Has anyone ever read some of them before? Okay. It's 465 pages, but, you know, the font's not real small or whatever. But there's 16 of them, though, so there's a lot. But this is the first one called Left Behind, and it says a novel of the Earth's last days. So it's basically their approach is a kind of fictionalized account of if the events in Revelation, as they see them anyway, are happening right now. So this is set in like 1995, you know, the book in that time. And so, but from their view is they're trying to basically teach people their view of the end times, that this means this, this is what's going to happen, and do it in a way like kind of a historical fiction or a futuristic fiction story, okay? Look at how many books they've sold. Now, this is old. It says 7 million sold in series. What is it now? 80 million. They've sold 80 million of these books. It's incredible. There's, what, a little over 300 million people in America? Okay? So that's like a book for one out of every four people in the country, or probably less, 3.5. That's a lot of books, people. Okay? 80 million, 7 of these books, number one New York Times bestseller, including several of the later editions that debuted at number one. People were chomping at the bit to buy it. And then, of course, you got to make a movie, right? So we have the Left Behind movie. This is the actual movie here. And look, Kirk Cameron's in it. Remember Kirk Cameron? We like Kirk Cameron, right? I don't agree with his end times theology completely, but there's Kirk Cameron. He starred in these. And from 2000 to 2005, they made 3 of these movies. And these were mostly aimed at a Christian audience, but I think they tried to market it beyond that. But if you watch it, I mean, it's not like quite the Hollywood quality. It's kind of, I could say, like a mid-budget. It's not like bad, but it's not like, you know, as good as the special effects and everything. But they made 3 of these movies. What else have they done? They made a whole children's series, Left Behind the Kids. They have a whole kids series. They've made music CDs. Of course, you got to have a soundtrack, right, to go along with your movie, right? Merchandise, shirts, everything. Nonfiction books like commentaries and revelations. Even video games. You can get the Left Behind video game and play it on your computer, okay? 2014, they figured, hey, it's been about 10 years since those Kirk Cameron movies, and they rebooted the franchise with a new Left Behind movie set in 2014 starring Nicolas Cage, the action star. So this was more of a wide release. It had some star power behind it. But honestly, don't watch it. I don't know if anybody's seen it. It was horrible, the movie. And I'm not a tough movie critic, but it was Basically, I think Nicolas Cage could have filmed the movie without his pants on because he was sitting in his pilot chair for 90% of the movie. You know, it's like he didn't have to wear pants to work, but it's all from the waist up, you know? And so it was pretty bad. Actually, I thought the old ones were much better than the new one, okay? If you're talking about. So anyway, people have been exposed to this Left Behind stuff, and this was a huge deal, as you can see. So Late Great Planet Earth, Left Behind. There's a lot of these other things. I mean, it seems like if you look at like Christian movies, it's almost like 50% of them are about the Book of Revelation. I mean, it's like there's a huge disproportionate number of things compared to the topics on Revelation. So there's tons of stuff out there. Okay. Again, not all of it. Most of it not completely theologically accurate. Okay. So. Remember, there have been a lot of failed attempts to predict the end of the world and what all this stuff's going to mean. Even if you read, I've never read The Late Great Planet Earth the whole way through. I thought of it. I think there's a copy at Trinity somewhere. I should have told Shoshana to grab it. But I've read excerpts of it. And, of course, a lot of his stuff, like one of his big things was that the Armageddon is going to be Russia during, this is the Cold War, right? Russia is going to invade Israel. And the communists will try to take over Israel. Well, of course, Soviet Union fell, you know, maybe they'll rise again one day and do it, but he was basically wrong on that, right? And he thought the European Union was like the Antichrist group when they reached 10 people. Well, it seems to be kind of falling apart. Actually, people are leaving the European Union. So again, time will tell, but a lot of the things, of course, that he tried to say, well, this is that, they haven't really come to fruition, okay? All right, now I already kind of asked, have you read or viewed any of the materials from either of these two franchises? Nobody knew about Late Great Planet Earth. Somebody knew about Left Behind. The next question, do they follow a Lutheran scriptural understanding of the Book of Revelation? No, they do not. Now, that's not to say everything in them is wrong, but it's a very different way of looking at it than what we're going to learn in the class, okay? So how should we approach these kind of things, or when people bring them up, hey, I've got this great book, you know, about, you know, can tell you everything that's going to happen into the world. Now, we're going to discuss all these issues later in the class. We don't have to get into them too much today. But, you know, how should we approach a lot of this popular stuff like Left Behind and stuff like that? Obviously, I'm not saying you can't touch it because I have it here, you know, but I think cautiously. You know, very cautiously. Yeah. So, again, different pastors might say different things, but as your pastor, I would say, is, you know, be careful with it. It's kind of like I said, like, you know, putting your kids in, we talked about with the martial arts and, you know, the yoga stuff and all last time. It's like, you know, just be careful with it because you don't want it to kind of lead you in a wrong direction. And so, you know, I haven't read all 16 because I did, when they were coming out, I read all these books. You know, I was like those people buying them, right? And, But I didn't even know they made more because it's been so long. These have been down in my basement, and I have all the 12 original ones, and I've read them. I don't think I have the third movie. I have two of them. But you know, I thought it was entertaining. It was interesting. However, at the same time, you have to look at it through a lens of not everything in here is going to be as planned out as they think. Okay, so I think if you go into it with understanding that all of this isn't correct. And just say, this is just entertainment. However, what's the danger of that? If you don't really understand what Revelation teaches, people could get sucked into it in your church, right? So I certainly wouldn't say, somebody said, hey, what's Revelation all about? Oh, just watch this Left Behind movie. It's got Kirk Cameron in it. Then see if you have any questions. I'm not going to do that, okay? Because I don't think it's going to teach you the right timeline of events here, okay? So, you know, if you do it, you know, you do have to be careful with some of the stuff that's out there because, you know, it's a lot of the things in it are not explicitly in the scripture. Okay, so if there's anything else with that I wanted to say, but just to kind of point out that this is stuff that people do know about. You know, your Christian friends and even non-Christian friends, some of them will know about this stuff. Okay. So yeah, I'd say just be cautious about it and understand, you know, you shouldn't take your theological cues from it for the most part, okay?
That's probably true of any movies or books you read that border on you know, that have some scripture in them or truth about scripture, I guess what you're saying is that if you have read scripture and you've studied scripture, then you maybe are a little less apt to have this be as much of a problem.
Right, exactly.
As it is for somebody who hasn't studied.
Yeah, I think you're right. So like a more mature Christian and who's understands more of the things is probably less of a problem than someone who doesn't really know. They're, like I said, they're going to this to say, I want to find out what happens in Revelation, and they go to it. That's where your problem's going to come in. And years, this was a long time ago. I can't remember the exact year, but Pastor Kimberly at Trinity did a Bible study in Revelation that I went to. I was probably a teenager when I went to it, I don't know if you went to it too, but I still remember from that class there was I don't remember exactly who it was, if the person is still there or not, but there was somebody in the class at Trinity that was very like convinced of this view, okay, of this rapture idea, and you know they brought it up a couple times, you know, and poor Pastor Kimberly had to try to answer it, you know, and he did a good. I love Pastor Kimberly, such a gentle yet strong, you know, man of God. And he addressed it very well, but there was, even in the Lutheran church, there was something that they were just convinced, and they brought it up a couple of times. No, this is, look at this verse, this is what it's saying, and, you know, he's trying to explain, no, that's not what that means, you know. So it's out there. So we, even in the inside of the church, we have to be aware of this, okay? All right, so let's see, let's go to number six. While many people are very interested in reading Revelation, we've established that, right? Some are not. Even some Christians avoid reading it and studying it. I've heard that from some people. Okay? Why? Why, if all these people are interested in it, some people are like, oh, that's the last thing I want to look at. Why?
Scary?
Yeah. It's some frightening stuff in there.
Difficult.
Okay? They may just prefer, hey, I'd much rather study a gospel or one of the Old Testament prophets than this stuff. Yeah, it's difficult. They're scared of it. Do some people feel like this is impossible to understand, so why try, right? You know, because we can take that approach to things. That's like being crossword puzzles. I'm never going to figure this out. I'm not going to try to. No, that's probably not the right attitude, but that's honestly, you know, I think I'm never going to figure this puzzle out. Why even start it? So I think that maybe some of you feel that way. You know, maybe you feel like it's kind of scary. I don't think I can understand it. So I hope this class will be helpful in putting that. Now, as he said in the video, is this class going to answer every question in the world? No, it's not, okay? But I think it'll be a good foundation here for this, and you'll understand the main thing that's going on. And so when you watch Left Behind, then you're like, hey, that's not what's supposed to happen, you know, if you choose to watch it. All right. Now, Revelation certainly contains information about the future. We've talked about that, and that's what most people would think when they think about Revelation, is it culminates with the return of Jesus, the new heavens and new earth. However, is Revelation the only source material we have from the Bible concerning the end times? No, of course not. Actually, it's all through the Bible we see pointing to, even in the Old Testament, we see pointing to Christ's first coming and his second coming as the prophets called the day of the Lord. They would say the day of the Lord. So sometimes when you're reading the Old Testament prophets and it's a prophecy about Jesus, you're like, but that hasn't happened yet. That happened, but this hasn't. That's because in theology we call this a now and a not yet aspect. And many of the Old Testament prophecies are now and a not yet. So when Jesus came, he fulfilled many of those things, but some of them will not be fulfilled till he comes again. Okay? So the Old Testament talks a lot about the last day and the judgment. Did Jesus talk about the end times? Absolutely. In Matthew and in Luke, in Mark, he has an extended discourse. In Mark, it's like two whole chapters. In Mark's, the shortest gospel, he's talking about what's going to happen in the future, and he's going to return. So Jesus, and a lot of his parables are about the end times. About the, well, Sunday we heard that man dies, and on Judgment Day, none of his stuff's going to help him. Jesus talked about the end times all the time. What about the Apostle Paul? Yeah, what about John? So you're sensing the theme here, right? So my point is, though, Revelation does deal with the end times, and ultimately we see at the end of the book, that's the culmination of everything. However, would it be a mistake to only study Revelation if you're studying the end times?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's tons of other stuff in the Bible about the end times, right? So some people think Revelation, that's the only place you can go. No. So we have to take some of the stuff in Revelation, and we have to also bring in all the other stuff about the end times, and that helps us understand. Because some of the misconceptions come about because you're not looking at other parts of the Bible, what Jesus said. These people who said, oh, this, I can calculate the dates using Daniel and all this, and here's the date. There was a preacher back, I think it was 2011 or 2012, Harold Campy, and he predicted October 22nd was the end of the world. Well, he was wrong, right? But if he would have looked, what did Jesus say about that? He said, no one knows except the Father in heaven. So again, if you're just looking at Revelation, okay, you might be able to make a prediction. But if you look at other clear parts of Scripture, then no, you can't. So my point is, this is not, number one, this is not a study of the end times. This is a study of the book of Revelation, which includes the end times, okay? So we want to be clear about that. If we were doing an end time study, we'd be looking at a lot of stuff, not just Revelation. And we will reference some of these other things. So Revelation is not only about things that haven't happened yet. Actually, a lot of things have already happened in it. We'll see when we go through. Or very likely have happened, okay? All right, so we see this is all throughout the Bible. All right, number eight. As the study goes on, we will examine different interpretations of Revelation in more detail. But obviously, what exactly everything in Revelation means is something that not all Christians agree on, right? Can we state that with certainty? When it comes to the end times and the return of Jesus, what are the essential doctrines? What are the secondary doctrines? So what about the end times do all Christians have to believe to be Christian? And then what are the things that are not essentials, that two good Bible-believing, Jesus-loving Christians can disagree on the point? Well, anything want to throw anything out there?
Well, Jesus is coming again.
Yes, Jesus is coming back. So if you deny that, that would be heresy. Okay, remember, I probably do this about every Bible study, but it's important that we understand this, is these words, orthodox with a small o, not like Greek orthodox, heterodox, then heresy. Okay, orthodox, this is right teaching and believing. This is what the Scripture teaches. This is what we as Lutherans believe, okay? Heterodox means what? Starts with a D. Different. Hetero is different. So that means a different belief. It's, heresy is basically, it's just wrong. Okay? It's outside of ortho. I mean, this, if someone's a heretic, that's like we talked about the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, and the Jehovah's Witnesses. We said they are not considered part of the Christian church, even though they think they are. Why? Because they hold heretical doctrines. They don't believe in the same God of the Bible. You know, the Mormons think that God was once a man and worked his way up to God, and the Jehovah's Witnesses don't think Jesus is fully God and fully man. So that's heresy. Okay? Now, heterodox means different. Now, Baptists say you have to immerse someone when you baptize them. Now, I think that's wrong to say you have to be immersed. You can be immersed. But is that heresy? No, that's heterodox. That's why we don't say the Baptist church is not heretical. It's heterodox. They have different beliefs about certain things, and the Methodists and even the Catholic and Orthodox churches, that they believe in the same God. But that just is different. And orthodox, this is what's, you know, right and true. Okay. Well, let's look in the back of our hymnal here. And we have the historic creeds of the church. Well, two of them. One of them is on page 319, I think. We'll look at that too. All right, what does the Apostles' Creed say about the end times? He ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and what? From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And then you go down to the Holy Spirit, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Go over to the Nicene Creed. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And then also, I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let me go to the Athanasian Creed, which is on, I believe it's 329. I'm wrong, that's, it must be before 319, and maybe I was right, yes, 319. But we got to go to 320, and that's where it talks about the end time. He ascended, this is starting with verse 37, ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. Those who have done good will enter eternal life. Those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith, meaning universal. Whoever does not believe it firmly and faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. So again, these are the historic creeds of the church. This is what the church has said. This is what Christians believe historically. So that's kind of the core of it, right? Okay. Now, these things like the rapture and the millennium and who the Antichrist is, or if there's a literal Antichrist and all this, these things would fall into this second category, right? Now, hear me clearly. I'm not saying they're not important, because if you buy into some of these other things, it has some fairly serious implications, okay, as all theology does. However, we wouldn't say to someone who is convinced that there's going to be this secret rapture, they're not heretics, okay? I think they're wrong, but that doesn't put them outside of orthodoxy. You understand? Okay, so what is the main things here? I look back in my sermon file, because I'm like, I preached a sermon about this not a lot, you know, a few years ago. And here are the five things I had in that sermon. It said, what you need to know about the second coming. Okay, if you boil it down, what you need to know. Bart, I think, said this. Kent, Jesus is coming back. That's pretty important, and that's pretty clear in the scripture. Number two, do we know exactly when that will occur? No. Number three, so that means we should be what? Ready at all times. Not, oh, I've looked at the signs here. I think I've at least got 5 years. I'm going to Vegas. You know, that's not the right attitude. You know, it's like, no, that's not how it's supposed to work, right? Okay? So, you know, party ends on this day because it's going to, you know, come back. And I think that's one of the reasons God doesn't want this false motivation. Because I guarantee you, if everybody knew the day and the hour, there'd be a lot of repenting going on for 5 minutes before. It'd be like the countdown of New Year's Eve, you know. All right, it's midnight. We've got to stop all this at midnight, you know. Number four, we should pray for his return. He says to pray for his return. And what should we be doing? Sharing Christ with others so that they can be with the sheep rather than the goats on Judgment Day. And then number five, do we need to live in fear of the judgment all the time? No. Because ultimately it's a message of hope we're going to learn about. Okay? So those are all things, that's like kind of the core, the main idea here. Some of these other things, they don't, not again, I'm not saying they're not serious, but they don't necessarily put you outside of orthodoxy. Okay? But if you're denying Jesus is going to return, you're denying there's a final judgment, all this stuff, you're setting dates, you're moving outside of orthodoxy there. Okay? All right, any other questions? And the last thing we're going to talk about in the 7 minutes we have left here is, I was wanting a lot of time to get into too much detail about this, but what about Martin Luther? What about Lutherans? What about Lutherans in the end times? So I put together a little essay here about this, and we'll be discussing this, of course, in the study, but we have to remember, did Luther want to start a new church? No. So basically, with everything, he's like, we need to get back to what the Bible teaches about these things. And that included the end times. So if we go over to page 4, that the Reformation was not about discovering new doctrines, but proclaiming the old ones is true. Okay? So the Lutheran Church, and we'll look at charts of some of this later. It's in your appendix, not right now because we don't have a lot of time. Guess what the Lutheran Church teaches about the book of Revelation and the end times? We teach, guess what? What the church has taught for centuries. Okay? And that's why it's probably a good thing when I said, oh, who's read The Great Lake Under Earth? You're all like, what's that? You know, yeah, even some of y'all didn't know what Left Behind was. You know? So that's okay, though, because we haven't bought into a lot of these newer ideas that didn't even exist back then, we'll see. Okay? You know, nobody said anything about the rapture until fairly recently in church history. Okay, so we basically confess what the church has taught historically about the book of Revelation. Okay, what's that? That's what the class is for. Okay, so we have a pretty straightforward approach to the end times, thus my sermon points there. We confess what a majority of the church has believed and confessed through the centuries. Now, the Lutheran fathers and Reformer fathers, they're only going to be somewhat helpful to you in trying to refute some of this stuff. Because, oh, let's go find what John Calvin or Martin Luther said about the secret rapture. You're not going to find it. You know why? It didn't exist. How would they write about something that nobody was arguing for, right? It's like, you know, find Luther's treatise against same-sex marriage. Well, nobody was advocating for that back then. He didn't write about it, okay? So, you know, it's the same thing with some of this end-time stuff. You know, nobody was saying some of these things. They were saying other things, okay? So Luther does have some stuff about Revelation, but you will not find a Luther commentary on Revelation, chapter by chapter. You will not find a whole sermon series from Luther. So a lot of times when I'm researching, if something's difficult, Luther is kind of my go-to. Because I can tell you, several times I've been trying, like Mom asked me about the parable of the shrewd manager that time.
Yeah.
So I had to preach about it when it came up in the lectionary. But, you know, but that was good because I learned about it. The most clear explanation of what it meant was Luther, his sermon. I was like, okay, now it makes sense. But I can't do that in Revelation. It's frustrating, you know, because there's no Luther commentary on it, all right? But he did obviously have some views on it. All right, so what about Luther himself? I mean, this guy wrote about everything, right? He wrote about everything. And this guy wrote an incredible amount of stuff. But it's kind of thin, all right? His view on Revelation is kind of like James. It's a lot like James. When he first started out, he said, I'm not so sure about James and Revelation. I don't even know if they should be in the Bible. And so he did include them in his German translation, but skeptically. He said, well, they're good, but they're not really on the same level as the other Bible books. So his 1522 forward to the book of Revelation is less than a ringing endorsement. However, like the book of James, the more Luther studied, guess what he came to the conclusion of? By 1530, he is certain that it is inspired scripture, and he, in fact, scraps the old introduction and writes a new one. All right, we're almost out of time here. We just have a couple more minutes, and then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. What did Luther start to do, though, later in his life? He really started to kind of, as we say today, read Revelation with his newspaper in his hand. And he really saw a lot of the things the Catholic Church and the Pope was doing as this is fulfilling this and this is fulfilling that. He really did kind of move to that position. And we'll talk about the Antichrist and the Pope and all that in the class later. Look at this quote from Luther. Since the gospel is so despised, I suppose that judgment day is not far away. Not over 100 years. Right? He didn't get... So, as great as Luther was, he didn't get that one right, okay? You know, he's fallible like all of us. So, you know, he, like many people, have thought, this is the end. This has got to be it. I see all this stuff in Revelation. But, of course, it didn't quite all happen. Of course, we're still here over 100 years later. All right. Now, the good news for us as Lutherans... Lutheran scholars have written some great things on Revelation in more modern times, especially our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There's several CTCR documents and studies. I actually had to kind of go through and decide what I wanted to do because there were several things. So there's a lot of good, more modern resources out there that do address all of these things. All right, so we are going to stop today because I'm trying to be on good behavior here and get us out of here at 7:30. But hopefully tonight kind of introduced it. Maybe hopefully got you interested about, hey, I want to know more about that, or what does this mean? So next week, don't miss next week, because we're going to get a little history lesson next week. So Robert, this will be up your alley, right? Because we have to understand the history of what was going on when this book was written to help make sense of it. So we're going to go back. Pastor Klaus is going to take us back and lead us up to the point of when this happened, and we're going to see what was going on with the Roman Empire and things like that. All right, let's stand and close with the Lord's Prayer. If you have any other questions, feel free to grab me after class and come back next week. Come back Sunday, but come back next Wednesday too. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.